This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport Radio. And me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11pm this evening. It is our Friday night fan show special. And right now, we are going to be talking all things the Bluebirds. In a minute, I'm going to be throwing over to Scott Salter from A View from the Ninian. But quickly, before that, some main headlines this evening in the world of sport. And England have won the second T20 test with South Africa. That means it will go to a decider in Centurion. And I don't know whether you just heard, but apparently Robbie Williams has just had a kid. Now, on what earth is that breaking news? On what earth is that newsworthy? Is that really newsworthy? Robin Williams, is that a child? Okay, congratulations, Robbie, but are we really that concerned about Robbie Williams having a child? I don't know. Is that big news? Perhaps it is. Perhaps I'm completely out of touch. Something I'm not out of touch of is the fact that Manchester City have been banned from European club competition for the next two seasons after being found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and financial fair play regulations. They're also going to be fined €30 million as well. That will equate to about £25 million. Now, this decision is subject to appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. City are clearly, as they have said themselves in a statement, disappointed but not surprised, and they will fight this one to the death, as you would imagine. They do have previous in this, of course, in 2014. They ended up being fined and not banned after appealing. It's almost like they had a bit of a handshake and said, yeah, go on, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. So nothing happened there. But after these emails were leaked by Der Spiegel last month, which suggests there are some financial irregularities with regards to City and the way that the club are run. The Guardian, of course, reporting on this as well. The independent adjudicatory chamber of the club financial control body have clamped down on City and said they've broken the rules by overstating its sponsorship revenue in its accounts and in the break-even information submitted to UEFA for 4 years between 2012 and 2016. They added that the club failed to cooperate in the investigation. No doubt there will be plenty more news to come out on that over the course of the coming days. Stick here with Love Sport to just hear what that news is and to get all the reaction from City fans alike and journalists too. But right now, as I said, we are talking all things Cardiff City. On the line, we've got Scott Salter from A View from the Ninian. Hello, Scott.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Quite big news that about City, isn't it?
Oh, it's huge, isn't it? Because it's, you know, almost unprecedented. You don't get that very often. If, you know, I can't remember the last time a team was banned like that. But also, you'd think if it does go ahead, and you know, I'm sure they'll appeal and things might change. But that would surely signal the end of Pep at City as well, wouldn't it? Because, you know, that's all he's chasing really with City, isn't it? It's the Champions League. So, you know, surely that would signal the end of him there.
Well, he did come out, didn't he, this week in a bit of a jokey chat with the Football Daily podcast, I think it was, and said that, you know, maybe they'll sack me if I don't win the Champions League. And he's kind of half-heartedly threatened this before, hasn't he? He's looked like a bit of a child, a sport child at some occasions throughout this season when it hasn't been going right for City. Is this an easy out for Pep Guardiola? He could be on his way out of City anyway. They've put in front of the media, of course, him to ask all kinds of questions on these matters when it's not really his job. Very much a purist. So maybe, just maybe, he will focus on football elsewhere. Quick update in the Championship, and that is that Hull have actually regained the lead against a certain South Wales team that we won't mention here on the Cardiff City fan show. But as things stand, Hull leading 3-2. Quite a ding-dong battle in that one. And still, half an hour to go. Right, Scott, let's get into the nitty-gritty of Cardiff, because the last time we spoke to you guys, two back-to-back away wins, a Lee Tomlin solitary goal at Kenilworth Road last Saturday, and on Wednesday night, a quite comprehensive victory at the Kirklees. Josh Murphy, Will Volks and Callum Patterson yet again getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, two absolutely huge wins there, and I think it's the first time this season we recorded back-to-back away wins, which, you know, it says it all really of how the season's gone and the inconsistencies. We're starting to see, you know, the draws turning into wins, and two away wins are huge.
In terms of the manner of that victory against Huddersfield Town, because Huddersfield Town, not on the up under Danny Cowley, you can't go as far as to say that, but definitely a more regimented side, a more methodical side under Cowley, and they looked like they were having a bit of an upturn in their fortunes, trying to creep away from those relegation spots. Just 5 points clear now after that defeat on Wednesday, but was it as comprehensive as the scoreline suggested?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I think the first half an hour, maybe Huddersfield were, you know, had a few chances and they played really well. But as soon as that first goal went in, and you know the second went in shortly afterwards, it was all Cardiff really, and it was a question of how many. And I can't remember the last time we won a game 3-0 really, which you know says it all. But we were comfortable. We controlled the game, I thought, and you know, they had a little spell in the second half where they came back into it a bit, and we had to defend well, which we really did. And I thought the defence were outstanding in that game. So I think I didn't flatter, but it was maybe slightly harsh on Huddersfield.
We spoke about Josh Murphy as well in the previous show, but one potentially back on the score sheet again for him. He's looking like he's starting to produce a bit of form that prompted Cardiff to sign him. It's his first in the Championship since the back end of August, so it's taken him a while to get back on the score sheet. We've seen him in action in cup competitions, but are we now finally starting to see the fruits of Josh Murphy's labours? Are we going to see a real player emerge now?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, it'd be great. I think with the cup games, it's something like four in his last five or something like that. So, you know, he's starting to find a bit of form. The problem with Josh Murphy is the inconsistencies, and we've seen glimpses, and you know, he started the Premier League season so well last year, and you know there seemed to be a long list of the right backs that were subbed at half time after a torrid first half against him. Hopefully, you know, this is it. He's got, you know, he's out of favour a bit when Harris came in, and at the start of the season under Warnock as well. So hopefully he's kind of knuckled down a bit. Harris has been, you know, man-managed him well, and has been, you know, talking through what he wants from him. And he's doing that, you know, going forward, he's always a threat. His end ball, and he, you know, drifts in and out of games a bit. But I thought against Huddersfield in particular, he was consistent with it, with his threat, and he actually defended well as well. I think he came back and helped Joe Bennett as well. So that was really pleasing.
4 in 6 for Callum Patterson as well. And we've spoken about his prowess in front of goal, and perhaps with that inability to sign a striker in the January transfer window, that he would need to step up. He has stepped up, of course, scored against Reading in the FA Cup, scored in that big win against West Brom at the end of January, and again against Huddersfield. He is starting to step up. He's getting his full fitness back. Of course, he did suffer from an injury right at the start of the season. Took him a bit of a while to get back into full fitness, but a decent player, isn't he? Such a utility player. Really reminds me, actually, of Paul Warhurst from back in the day, from the early Premier League days with the likes of Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn and Crystal Palace. Could kind of play all over the pitch, but Patterson really proving his worth.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, you mentioned about the search for a striker in January. I was quite adamant the whole time I went on the View from Millennium podcast and in various things that Cardiff didn't need to sign a striker because, you know, Danny Ward's a good striker at this level. Patterson can score, as you said. And, you know, I really like Robert Glatzel as well. I think he's a really good striker and finisher. Our problem was that we were just not creating chances. You know, I did analysis. I can't remember which two games it was, but over two games, our strikers only had the ball played into them once over two games in the box. So that was a major problem of, you know, how can we get the ball into the strikers? But, yeah, on Callum Patterson, he's superb. He's a perfect Cardiff player, really, because he's full of passion, full of heart, full of fight, and that's exactly what Cardiff fans want. He's not, you know, the best technically in the squad. He's all right, but it's his work rate and his passion that does it. And you know, he's a utility man, and that's almost been his downfall at times because he can play so many places and do so well. In our promotion year, he did really well at in centre mid, arriving late in the box and getting goals. Obviously signed as a right back, although we've never really seen him there, and done so well as a striker as well. So I think it's good if he's sat down with Neil Harris and said, look, I want to be a striker here, and he's getting that faith repaid him by Harris, and he's paying Harris back for that faith because he's grabbing goals, like you said.
He is indeed. And speaking of Neil Harris as well, the big quotes coming out from this week is that he's basically saying teams are fearing Cardiff City now. He's talked about taking small steps and getting to where we are, and all of a sudden, you know, Cardiff City are on the fringes of the playoffs. That's exactly where they want to be. But he's suggesting that teams are going to be looking over their shoulder at Cardiff now, especially if you make it 3 wins from 3 against Wigan at the weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we've kind of come from nowhere. If you look back at maybe the start of January, no one was talking about Cardiff for the playoffs. You know, even Cardiff fans, they looked a million miles away. But suddenly, you know, that's the nature of the Championship, isn't it? A few results go your way, and suddenly you're totally in it. So we saw with Sunderland and the Roy Keane those years ago, didn't we? That, you know, being towards the relegation zone, and then they went up in the end, didn't they? So, you know, anything can happen in the Championship, and suddenly we're, what is it, 3 or 4 points off the playoffs, and, you know, a couple of wins, and some teams are falling out of form. You know, we'll be right in there, and it's exciting.
What's the perception of Harris now then, Scott? Because I know the fans were starting to fear that the football had become a bit staid under Neil Harris. There is just 2 defeats in 16 league games in which he's taken over, which is quite an incredible record, of course. I know that 7 of those have been draws, and that's where the fears were. It's unbeaten in 6 now from that rather harrowing defeat against QPR. So it goes to show that he's instilled somehow a bit of character, a bit of resilience into this side, despite such a heavy defeat. And to be unbeaten in 6 now, 2 wins back-to-back, like we said, potentially a third on Saturday, he's really turned things around.
He has, yeah. I think I saw that Cardiff have, only West Brom have lost more games than Cardiff this year. And, you know, they're at the top of the table, or top 2, which is an incredible stat. But, yeah, Harris, it was difficult for him to come into, and, you know, I'll hold my hand up, and myself and a lot of fans were, he wasn't our choice, and we were critical of him, and, you know, it felt really flat. We were used to Neil Warnock, who, you know, we all know is a big character, who he had no pressure on him, so he said what he wanted, and it was a really fun time to be a Cardiff fan. Harris came in, the football was slightly drab, and there seemed to be, just seemed a bit flat, but suddenly, like you said, that bad loss against QPR has kind of turned things around. We've won a good run of form, and I think the thing that has really, really changed things is Will Vokes getting into the team. He's got in there. He kind of made that midfield his own, and he's bringing so much more different options to our play in midfield, which we really needed, because, you know, we kind of had a couple of workhorses in Bakuna and Walls and a, you know, Pack who's more of a deep line playmaker. So we had no one that would look to run with the ball, look to break the lines, and Vokes has done that. He showed it against Reading with that brilliant pass to Glatzel, and he's done it plenty in the last few games, and obviously got his first goal, and it was great to see that celebration.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved seeing that. Great to see him on the score sheet. And interesting that you flag Will Vokes as well, because often in these scenarios, you know, straight off the bat, I've mentioned Josh Murphy, I've mentioned Callum Patterson, and I neglected to mention the impact that he's had on the side.
Yeah, it's been smooth. I think he was harshly singled out by Warnock. You know, he didn't play well in that game against Reading early on in the season that we lost, but, you know, no one did, and it seemed like he was isolated a bit from that, and Warnock didn't really trust him. I'm not 100% sure why, but, you know, we were all excited by the signing of Will Vokes. He seems like an ideal player for Cardiff. He's robust, he can score goals, he's got a long throw, which we obviously all love, so, you know, really good. It's good to see him in the team, and you know, obviously just in time for the Euros as well to kick on and get himself in that Welsh squad.
Can't beat a long throw, mate. Shades of Andy Legg back in the day.
Yeah.
And also, just to finish on this particular one, it is a testament to the character, like I said, with Neil Harris. The fact that the defeat against QPR was New Year's Day, I think that is what makes a big difference to this as well, because it quite feasibly could have been a psychological issue. No, we started the year on such a low. on one hand,
started the decade on such a
low. Started the decade. There you go. There's another layer to it, Scott. Started the decade on such a low. But you mentioned as well the fact that only West Brom have had a better record. In terms of home games in the Championship, of course, no team has lost less games at home than Cardiff. That Cardiff City Stadium becoming something of a fortress now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you're going to achieve anything in any league, your home form has to be spot on. And it has been, to be fair, you know. A lot of those have been draws, and you know, we need to start turning more of those into wins, and hopefully starting on the weekend. But you know, the atmosphere at the Cardiff City Stadium is always superb, and I know the players react well to that. So it's good to make it a fortress, you know, like we're used to over the years in Ninian Park. But teams hated coming there, and that's, you know, that was the challenge to make the Cardiff City Stadium like that, and I think we're getting there.
Absolutely. That's Scott Salter there from A View from the Ninian, talking all things Cardiff City on this, the Cardiff City Fan Show. Next up, we're going to be looking ahead to that game with Wigan on Saturday.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
The Cardiff City Fan Show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, joined by Scott Salter from A View from the Ninian. Quick update in the Championship. Hull City still leading the other team from South Wales 3-2. Malik Wilkes with the third goal there for Hull. Marcus Madison actually getting his first goal for the club as well in that contest. Quite ding-dong at the moment. Hull taking the lead, being pegged back by Wayne Routledge's goal. Madison then increasing their lead again, or restoring their lead, I should say. Carl Norton with the equaliser, but Malik Wilkes, as we say, putting Hull back in the lead. And Hull, who pretty much have nothing left to really play for in the Championship right now, a team decimated on deadline day, losing Jared Bowen, losing Kamil Grzycki as well. A win today will put them back up into 13th spot, leapfrogging Derby and Birmingham in the process. Of course, Derby and Birmingham both to play this weekend, so that could change by the end of the week. What could also change is Cardiff City's, not position in the table, but their points tally, of course. They host Wigan Athletic at home, a ground where they've only lost once so far this season in the Championship. The best record that they can boast amongst all 24 teams. And before we come to Scott, I was speaking to David Prutton on Love Sport Drive, the Posh Boys on Drive yesterday, just about Cardiff City and the fact that they are sneaking up those places in the Championship. Like we said, unbeaten in six, without a defeat since the opening day of the year, of the decade, as Scott pointed out earlier. And here is what Prutz had to say on the fact that Cardiff are creeping right back up there.
They can't, and when you've got someone like Lee Tomlin, who the sheer volume of goals that he's been involved in this season, it rivals Ollie Watkins, who has got more, but obviously goals scored and involvements. But Tomlin, he brings something to a side. There's a touch of the loose cannon about him, but he seems to be mobilised very well by Neil Harris. And if they can indulge a player such as that, then they've got a pretty decent chance. They've got the kind of defence that if you stand next to him in the tunnel, you get pretty scared of him. But from the point of view of results on the pitch, it has been slightly different this season. There's a presumption that a team with recent Premier League history should bounce straight back up.
How many times does it happen, really?
I mean, statistically, it's very, very low.
Because, especially automatically as well.
Absolutely. And it just what it always proves to me is the teams that have made it look straightforward, like Newcastle and Burnley, we've taken that achievement for granted. Oh, well, they've got Rafa in charge, it should be fine. They've got Sean Dyche. No, it's still really, really hard. But you ask any of the big teams that have been down there for ages. But with Cardiff, I think a late surge into the playoffs would be reflective of a pretty decent season.
Yeah, I also think when it comes to teams bouncing back, I think it's easier to bounce back up if you've only been in the Premier League for one season. Mm-hmm. I think if you've been in there for, you know, 10, 15 years, the likes of Fulham, that's just Stoke, when they came down, you're structured in a way that makes you structured to be a Premier League club, and that means you're not structured to be a Championship team.
The thing as well, though, if you take the Stoke example, there's almost a complacency, or maybe an unconscious complacency. Like, say, we've been in this top league for a decade now. We've almost, and the playing staff has been completely overhauled, so there's no lingering memories of what the second tier is like. Whereas, like you say, if you get teams that are in and around it, take Fulham for example, spent all that money, moved the team around, and then suddenly they're back to where they started, and the players that helped get them there, like Kevin McDonald, even though he didn't start last night, fundamental in what they're doing back in this tier, but almost kind of forgotten when it came to the sexy stuff in the Premier League.
That was David Prutton there with doom and gloom Don Betts, I should say, as well, speaking on Posh Boys on Drive yesterday. And Scott, a couple of things to come out of that. Firstly, the theory that Cardiff City are actually stood in better stead because they haven't actually played as much Premier League football than the likes of Stoke, than the likes of Fulham. Do you concur with that point? Because I guess, to some extent, it kind of does make sense.
Yeah, it does. It does, in a sense. I think more than anything, you know, the squad wasn't overhauled when we went into the Premier League. You know, the goalkeeper is the same. The defence is pretty much the same as when we went up and last year. So I think that's made a huge difference. Bar one or two, the core of the team is still there. And so I think there's been less of a hangover, although it's not gone as smoothly as we all would have hoped. You know, you look at Huddersfield and you look how teams like Stoke, like you said, have struggled in recent years. I don't think it's been, you know, a disaster by any stretch of the imagination.
He did, Prutz there, also refer to Lee Tomlin as a loose cannon. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a bit harsh. I think, you know, Tomlin came out, you know, in the summer, I think it was, talking about the mental health struggles that he's had and, you know, the fact that he at one point considered, you know, just driving his car off the M5. So, you know, I think that's harsh. And, you know, he obviously had some demons and some issues that he was struggling with, and an absolute credit to him that he's turned it around and he's, you know, become such an important player and he's delivering at a level that, you know, that he should be delivering at.
Yeah, indeed he is. 7 goals and 7 assists so far this season, more than anyone else in the Championship so far this season. It is Wigan up next, Scott, and just 2 wins in Cardiff's last 15 league games against Wigan, both of those games coming as a double swoop in the 2014-15 season. So, I know that you can't always take these stats as anything seriously, but not the best record against the Latics over recent seasons.
No, I hadn't realised that, to be fair. I think, yeah, it's one of those games that, even when they were kind of a newly relegated team, you know, you kind of look at Wigan and think that's a winnable game, but obviously we've not had too much luck. I think we're going into this one in good form, and, you know, it'll be a real statement win, I think, if we get the 3 points, because obviously, you know, we lost 3-2 at the start of the season, the first game of the season, actually away to Wigan. And that was a big, big loss for us, because we were all had high hopes going into the season. We were all excited about what could happen. You know, we saw Bobby Reid at that point and we thought the team would be built around him. And we looked at our squad and thought, actually, you know, we should do really well this year. And that kind of, you know, knocked us back a bit and probably started the downfall of Neil Warnock, really. So, you know, I think it's a big statement if we get 3 points from Harris to say, you know, look, this is my team, this is a different team, and we have bounced back from where we were.
Wigan as well, not the worst record away from home in recent weeks. It's incredible how these things work out, isn't it? They won 2 of their last 3 away games in the Championship, which is one more than they won in their previous 34 away. So they actually come. We spoke about the home form, of course. They're coming to Wales with a bit of form.
Yeah, you know, they've picked up some good points recently, haven't they? And it was the Leeds game that they beat Leeds recently, and, you know, I know Leeds seem to be on a bit of a downfall, and, you know, they always seem to do this at this point in the season, don't they? But, you know, Wigan got some good players, they got some dangerous players, and a couple of ex-Cardiff players as well, that, you know, David Marshall in goal, who we all know his quality, and I'm sure he'll be hoping to keep a clean sheet on his return to the Cardiff City Stadium.
OK, Scott, it's been great having you on. I've got to ask you, what is the score going to be? And if we're talking about celebrations, do we want to see, like you said, the Will Volks triple, quadruple, whatever it was, flip, or the Callum Patterson classic, you know, forehand on the top of your forehead celebration?
It's a tough one. I mean, you know, we've got history with players doing somersaults. Obviously, Robbie Earnshaw all those years back, you know, yeah. It was a love celebration. But why can't we have both? I think we go for both. I think it's going to be... I think we're going to good form, and I know Wigan, like you said, we've struggled against them in the past, and they're on a decent little run. But I think we've got enough at home as well. I think we'll be comfortable. Yeah.
Lovely stuff, Scott. Thank you very much for joining us. That was Scott Salter there of A View from the Ninian. This has been the Cardiff City Fan Show. Cardiff hosting Wigan Athletic at the week. And like we say, Wigan having won 2 of their previous 3 away games. But Cardiff with the best home record in the Championship so far this season. So I tell you what, it's going to be quite the humdinger at the Cardiff City Stadium. Cardiff won't be able to get into the playoffs at the end of the weekend, even if results go their way, but they will edge ever closer to it if they get a victory tomorrow. This has been the Cardiff City Fan Show. We'll be back with all the reaction to that game next week, 9 p.m. here on Love Sport. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.